Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part of my Biblical Cosmology series. This one is called The Genesis Testimony. Christians are people of the book who value its testimony above all else, at least in theory. This article takes a look at what the Bible says about the creation and design of the earth and the heavens. I will compare the biblical testimony to what modern astrophysics presents as the truth. Not surprisingly, the devil has not changed his tactics. Just as in the case with Adam and Eve in the garden, we too must decide if we believe God's testimony more than any other voice. If we accept that God's word is true, then we will believe his account of creation. If we believe the tale of the astrophysicists, we must either throw out the biblical account altogether or drastically alter it so that it no longer says what it originally meant. Satan knows that if we doubt what Genesis chapter 1 says, we have no basis for believing any of the rest of the Bible. If chapter 1 only communicates spiritual realities that have no basis in actual historical fact, how can we suppose that other truths, such as the resurrection of Christ, are anything more? Perhaps it too was meant to communicate a spiritual concept that is not based on historical fact. This is unacceptable. As one might expect, the Bible begins with a description of how God created the sea, the earth, and the heavens. The Bible gives us no reason to treat it otherwise than as historically factual. Commentators only feel the need to treat it phenomenologically as a result of trying to accommodate it to the Big Bang heliocentric theory. Just as most conservative Christians reject evolution in favor of the literal creation account, no matter how foolish that seems to the world, we also must be willing to reject Copernican cosmology in favor of the Genesis account. In the chart below, I have contrasted the biblical account with the Big Bang heliocentric theory. So I will read each day's account in the different passages from Genesis 1 with the biblical account in mind first, and then I will read the Big Bang heliocentric theory's version. So I begin with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This verse is a summary of all that follows. God is the center of everything. This compares to a parallel account in John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Day one. Well, let me go back to the opening heliocentric part. In the beginning of the Big Bang heliocentric theory, the universe created itself out of nothing, thanks to the amazing godlike properties of gravity. It is impossible to harmonize this account with the Genesis narrative. One cannot simply say that the Big Bang took place when God spoke the cosmos into existence out of nothing, Hebrews 11:3. The Bible says he first created the seas, not an explosion. Nothing in the Big Bang account agrees with Scripture, especially not the timeline. In fact, the notion of the entire universe originating from a single point is found in the Jewish Kabbalah, an occult book, and was later posited by a Roman Catholic Jesuit priest. Now back to the biblical account. Day one. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's Genesis 1, verse 2. God first created the waters, called the deep. The dry land, or earth, was not formed yet. The Holy Spirit's activity is central. To assert that the first thing created was the deep places the biblical account in direct conflict with the so-called scientific explanation. And Genesis 1, 3 through 5 says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." After creating the seas on the same day, God created light and instituted the pattern of day followed by night. God had not yet created the sun, moon, or stars, so there was no obvious source of this light except for God himself, which corresponds to John's gospel. John 1, 4, 5 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Moses was not a stupid man. He knew that the sun produced daylight, so when he wrote this account of creation, he understood that it did not make sense from a mechanistic point of view. This is a case when God does not explain everything. He asks us to take him at his word without having complete understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, I want to talk about the Big Bang heliocentric theory. According to this theory, the formation of the universe began with the chaos of an explosion out of which stars eventually formed after millions of years and later the planets, etc. This means the sun came into existence before it spun off the earth. Therefore, the earth owes its existence to the sun around which it orbits. The sun is central, which is heliocentrism. This belief originated in Egyptian sun worship, something Pythagoras believed, which Copernicus picked up. The scientific view requires that there be a natural source for light, which would come from some form of combustion or nuclear fusion, such as from a star or sun. This would necessitate the suns already being in existence, which cannot be found in the Bible account. The heliocentric view also requires the earth to rotate on an axis to account for day and night. Since there was no sun, moon, or stars at this point in the Genesis account, the scientific view demands that we reject the Bible as a trustworthy source of information about creation. This is one reason why so many leading exponents of the Big Bang theory are atheists. The true account of the heavens and earth testifies to God's glory. The false account argues that there is no God. The scientific point of view requires that we have a mechanistic explanation for everything. God is not allowed to be part of the equation. Day two. This is the biblical account. "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day." That's Genesis 1, 6 through 8. Here is another place where the Genesis account radically departs from the Big Bang heliocentric theory. When people have been indoctrinated from birth in the heliocentric globe theory, the idea of there being a domed vault called the firmament encasing the earth seems bizarre. Amos 9:6, New American Standard Bible. Rakia, the Hebrew word for firmament, means something solid, such as molten bronze that has been beaten out. It had to be strong enough to support the weight of the waters above. God took an entire day to construct this amazing structure, which was to house what we call the heavenly bodies, the sun, moon, and stars. This structure had to be placed on a strong foundation. I'll write more about the firmament in my next article. The structure of the firmament indicates that the earth is a stationary plane, not a round ball or globe in motion. God chose not to give us many details about the nature of the firmament, except in various other places, which I will cover later. It is enough to say that it is a gigantic structure testifying to the glory and majesty of God. Psalm 19:1. The Big Bang heliocentric theory requires us to translate Rakia as heaven, sky, or expanse, because we cannot allow for a solid structure that encloses the earth. The Big Bang heliocentric theory holds that the earth is quite fragile, having no protection against the perils of outer space, such as asteroids, sun eruptions, or even aliens. Instead, the earth is said to be hurtling through the void or vacuum of outer space at incredible speeds, going who knows where. The Big Bang heliocentric theory is specially designed to deny the existence of God and the truth of the Bible. I believe it is being used to set us up for the ultimate deception, probably of a simulated alien invasion, to allow the Antichrist forces to gain complete control over the earth. Now back to the biblical account. Day 3. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed along with its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Genesis 1:9-13. On day 3, we have the first appearance of dry land called the earth. We learn from Psalm 24:2 that the earth was founded upon the waters, just as Genesis describes it. We also discover from Psalm 75:3 and numerous other places that God placed the earth on pillars so that its foundation is secure and it will not be moved. Psalm 96:10. Psalm 19:1 and Romans 1:20 tells us that creation declares the glory of God and reveals much about his character and power. The Big Bang heliocentric theory would never have life beginning with plants. Rather, the evolutionary development of life is said to have begun in the primordial soup of the sea. In addition, the Big Bang heliocentric theory says that the earth is tilting, wobbling, and moving at breakneck speed through an ever-expanding universe. The earth is supposed to be rotating at 1,040 miles per hour at the equator, traveling 66,600 miles per hour in its orbit around the sun. The entire solar system is supposed to be moving through our galaxy at about 500,000 miles per hour. And the galaxy is said to be careening outward from the point of the Big Bang explosion at over 1,000,000 miles per hour. This all directly contradicts the Bible, which says the earth does not move. Back to the Bible, day 4. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Genesis 1:14-19. The Genesis account finally gives us sources for light other than God himself. The sun, moon, and stars are all called lights or luminaries. They are all placed in the structure called the firmament, requiring them to be smaller and much closer than modern astrophysics claims. There are no planets, spherical solid objects, but only wandering Greek planetes, lights or stars that move differently from the circular motion of the other stars. If one looks at these wandering stars with a telescope or high zoom camera, they look quite similar to other stars and not like NASA's computer generated images. Their motion is over the earth as revealed in Psalm 19:5 and fixed as shown in Jeremiah 31:35 and other places. The moon is also described as a light rather than a reflector. This mysterious luminary gives off a light that makes objects it illuminates colder than they would be in its shade. Therefore, since it produces an altogether different sort of light, it cannot be reflecting sunlight. As I already mentioned, the Big Bang heliocentric theory of origins posits that the sun and other stars were the first things that coalesced after the initial primal explosion, which directly contradicts the Bible. This theory also says that the moon is a spherical solid reflector of sunlight rather than being a light in its own right. The stars are said to be suns, which contradicts Scripture too. Instead of being in God's fixed order, everything in the universe is supposed to be moving away from the theoretical original blast center. The wandering stars were reclassified as solid spherical objects, much like Earth is said to be. Each of these are caught in the inexorable power of the sun's supposed gravity. The sun rules its solar system as a king would his court. Each planet besides Earth is named after a pagan god. This is all based on sun worship, which believes the sun god, Helios, rules over all. It also places the Earth in the same category as the wandering planets named after false gods, thereby putting us in a place of doing pagan worship to Helios, just as the other servants of Satan. June 12 and 13 says, these are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now back to the Bible, day 5. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Genesis 1:20-23. Instead of life being self-generated from the sea, God created sea creatures and birds after he made the plants on dry land. the evolutionary Big Bang heliocentric theory proposes that life self-generated from the sea, which directly contradicts the biblical account. Back to the Bible, day six. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, the cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, which each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. And then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The conclusion of creation took place on day six, when God created all land-based animals and man. Humans are made in God's likeness and have been given dominion over the earth. Our first command was to be fruitful and multiply. At this point in time, God completed his creation and rested on the seventh day. According to the evolutionary Big Bang heliocentric theory, it took millions of years for life to self-generate and evolve into human beings through a string of favorable mutations. Not only does this theory violate the second law of thermodynamics called entropy, it also contradicts the Bible. The Big Bang heliocentric theory teaches us that the earth and mankind are nothing special, being accidents of evolution. We have no God-given authority over the earth. In fact, we are considered to be sort of a dangerous virus that needs to have our numbers reduced. The result of the Big Bang heliocentric theory is that we see ourselves as purposeless, meaningless accidents instead of being the focal point of God's creation. In addition, the Big Bang heliocentric theory says that the universe is still self-creating through expansion and evolution, thus contradicting the Bible's claim that God completed his work in 6 days and then rested. One of the fundamental principles of Bible interpretation is that the scripture must be allowed to say what the author meant it to say. Bible scholars agree that the Hebrews interpreted the Genesis account quite literally. The following diagram is found in Logos Bible software and accurately describes the Hebrew concept of the heavens and the earth, and this is pictured in my article. Now, this view is described by our, quote, friends, end of quote, at Google as being archaic and disproved by science. This is the result of the Copernican heliocentric view gaining the ascendancy over the past 500 years. Before that, virtually every culture held the same archaic understanding of the design of the earth and heavens. Whereas once it was considered heretical to believe the conspiratorial Copernican view, now it is considered to be conspiratorial, stupid, and ignorant to believe the biblical testimony regarding the cosmos. In summary, the Bible account of creation presents us with a very different account of origins from modern science. As Christians, we are confronted with the choice between believing God's testimony regarding creation or what so-called science theorizes. I believe we are being tested today in the same way that Satan tempted Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Did he mean what he said? Satan made Adam and Eve feel foolish and ignorant for taking God at his word. This is how those who believe the Genesis account are made to feel today, even by other Christians, quite often. It appears that many of us who profess the name of Christ love our heliocentrism more than God's word. I pray that soon changes. I want to close by reading Numbers 23:19 from the New King James Version. God is not a man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Thank you very much for listening, and may God bless you.